You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Icons, Harlem Renaissance in Motion, a classical theater of Harlem production in collaboration with the Venus Radio Theater. My name is Ty Jones, the producing artistic director of the Classical Theater of Harlem, and I am delighted to be presenting this wonderful and important monologue series. CTH commissioned playwrights to create 7 original monologues based on figures from the Harlem Renaissance. The monologue you're about to hear focuses on the American journalist, teacher, playwright, and poet, Angelina Weld Grimke, and is written by Andrea A. Ambam. We find Miss Grimke alone in an unkempt New York City apartment, looking at herself in a mirror. Please enjoy this story about Angelina Weld Grimke.
There is a tree by day that at night has a shadow. A hand, huge and black, with fingers long and black, all through the dark, against the white man's house. In the little wind, the black hand plucks and plucks at the bricks. The bricks are the color of blood. Very small. Is it a black hand? Is it a black hand? Is it a black hand? Is this a black hand? I keep looking in this damn mirror for answers, and all I get are these big, clueless eyes back. Is this a black hand? Of course this is a black hand. A black hand that worked, that wrote for the people, that paved a way, that gave us a platform and all that. These hands gave everything. Are you to question my hand? To question my blackness? Ha! Well, you don't get to do that. None of you. I did my part, okay? I gave what I could to the movement. I tried to get them to see us. I wrote my first play, Rachel, so that they would think better of us. The Washington Evening Star. Rachel forcefully depicts the wrongs suffered by the colored race as a result of the white man's blight of prejudice. A glowing review. The Washington Post. The writing of Rachel is comparable to the French dramatist Eugene Brieux. Another raving review. Dear Miss Grimke, do you truly believe that black women should fear motherhood? Are you satisfied with only showing colored folk who are wealthy and educated while ignoring the financial and academic realities of our race? Miss Grimke, your play Rachel preaches racial suicide. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on me. The Washington Evening Star says my play was a success. But my own community says shame on me. I have told you all over and over again it was for the white race. I thought that was the way in. I thought there was a way to reach them if we just showed them the good in us. If we just showed them Negroes are not the dirty lies they watched on Birth of a Nation. We are good. We don't rape, we don't kill, we don't steal. We can wear the finest clothes and speak the smoothest English. Won't you stop killing us? I thought they would take us off the goddamn ropes and call off the mobs. That was the plan. I'm sorry it didn't work. It was my first try, okay? But Rachel did something. My play did something. Soon, my sisters, Miss Alice Dunbar Nelson and Miss Georgia Douglas Johnson, came along and lifted the art on its way. But Rachel, my play, she tried. The first ever stage production put on and made by black folk. That wasn't no damn minstrel show. About us, for us, by us, near us. Tell me that's not history. Me and the NAACP called it propaganda on purpose. And some of you all didn't like that. Clearly. You tell me a better way, huh? Come on now. Don't be shy. Tell me a better way. This mirror talks to me, you know?
We stare off every day, and it tells me I am 75% of the enemy. So I should have known trying to appeal to the hearts of white women never works. Can you believe that?
It actually says, I should have known. I should have known. Oh, Angelina. You couldn't even get the white mama who gave birth to you to stick around, and you thought your play could change the hearts of white women. Maybe. Maybe I was just trying to please her all along. Maybe I'm still the little girl looking to mother for all of the answers. Mother, why do they keep killing us? Mother, why don't they see us? Mother, why did you leave me? Sarah Stanley. What a woman. My own mother left Daddy and took me with her, then sent me back to live with Daddy at 7 years old. All that back and forth is no good for a young child's brain. White and black, then white, then black again. Now you're just a distant ghost I hardly remember.
Heard you were crazy. So crazy you took your own life.
What haunted you, Mama? Is it the same thing that haunts me? This skin.
You didn't have to go. You could have stayed with Daddy and I, and we would have. Well, I don't know what we would have done. I'm not a fortune teller. Hell. Sometimes I think I got you crazy. Sometimes I'm thankful you left me with Daddy.
He was the best man I ever knew. One night, on one of Daddy's last nights before he passed, he was going in and out of consciousness. His words were all mumbo-jumbo, and I could barely make out what he was saying. Angelina. Angelina, he kept calling me, but I was right there, wiping the sweat from his forehead. I was right there by him every single night. Angelina. Angelina. I finally said, yes, Daddy, real loud. Way too loud to be talking to someone dying. But he opened his eyes real big and said, Angelina, is that you?
Yes, Daddy, it's me. It's always me. Then he looked me right in the eyes and said, How's the world out there? Any progress? I lied to him and said yes. Sure, there had been some progress, but I know my father. Mr. Vice President of the NAACP was talking big institutional lifelong change. He was talking about no more lynchings and justice, real justice, what he fought his whole life for. Who was I to tell him it had not yet come, That the lynchings are barely just slowing down and the NAACP is working harder than ever? I wanted him to finally get rest. I didn't want him to have to keep fighting. And I didn't want him to realize that I had failed. My big plan to make them see us had failed. One of my last conversations with my father was a lie. A white lie, but a lie indeed. But you know, I actually remember the very last thing he said to me before he couldn't hold on anymore. Towards the last couple days of his life, all of our conversations started off the same. Angelina, is that you? Yes, Daddy, it's me. That was our greeting day in and day out, morning and evening. But on his last day, once he confirmed that it was me standing next to him, just as I was the day before, he did something he's never done before. He looked at me scared. I mean, I looked into his eyes and saw pure fear. What's wrong, Daddy? You want to know what that man said to me? Archibald Grimke looked me in the eye and said, Aw, you look pale. Pale? You, Archibald Grimke, are on your deathbed, and I am the one who looks pale? Me? Well, whose fault is that, huh? Who gave me this skin? Who gave it to me, huh? Is it a black hand? Is it a black hand? Yes. Yes. Right? I don't know anymore. Even my father thought pale of me, and my mother, she's the real reason for all of this. When your father is 50% and your mother is 100%, what does that make me? 75% pale. Because that's how blood works, I guess. No matter what you dedicate your life to, no matter how down you are for the cause, it's still about what people see. It's still about the fact that this paleness, this skin, is me. I can't unbe it. Ugh! I want this off! I want this skin off. And now that I'm here, alone, it's all I can see. I have no guardian or lover to tell me to open my eyes. To tell me that I'm just not seeing things clearly. She would kiss me on the cheek. She would hold me after Daddy died. She would say, Hush your mind. Let that mob of an imagination sleep, and sleep I would, in the comfort of her grace and warmth, knowing that my whole life is not this loneliness, this mirror, this questioning of who I am and what I was and how I will be remembered, if I will be remembered. How will they archive this precious Angelina? Will they write me as well as I write myself? Will they put me next to my sister, Ida B. Wells, and my brother, W.E.B. Du Bois? Will they say, Here lived Angelina. She wrote for the people. She wrote for understanding. She wrote until she wrote nothing more. Until the pen became too heavy and the paper too frail. The weight of the world collapsed beneath my fingers, and I can't pick them back up. I just want to see myself the way I did when I was writing Rachel. I saw this black hand worthy of rings, diamonds, and pearls, and I wanted them to see the same of us on stage.
I wanted them not just recognize our plight, but sympathize with our humanity, to see us as dignified and worthy of living. I was just the start. You all took the stage where you wanted it to go, and I was happy to watch you go there. But you're right. You're all right. I should have told them. Negroes do rape. Negroes do kill. Negroes do steal, just like white folks do. Just like folks of every color in any country. And we are still good. And we are still worthy. Just like I am still black. Even when the sun is hiding. Even when this mirror, this damn mirror, tries to play tricks on me. I know me. I see me. I am the woman with the black, black skin. I am the laughing woman with the black, black face. I am living in the cellars and in every crowded place. I am toiling just to eat, in the cold and in the heat, and I laugh. I am the laughing woman who's forgotten how to weep. I am the laughing woman who's afraid to go to sleep.
Hi, I'm Tanya Everett, and I'm playing Angelina Weld Grimke.
End of play. Listen, on behalf of everyone here at the Classical Theater of Harlem, we thank you for listening. We've got some great people to thank. First off, Sean Renee Graham, Literary Director of Programs. Betty Shamia, CTH's Mellon Playwright in Residence. This piece was adapted, produced, and edited for audio theater by Eric Emma, and the sound design and mixing by Andy Stein. This is a Classical Theater of Harlem production recorded in collaboration with the Venus Radio Theater. Thank you again.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.